All right, if you are planning to be in the class, I encourage you all to take your seat and don't be scared to come up to the front. It is all right. Don't be scared not to run away either. Well, I thank you guys for choosing to come to this lecture. I was given this topic, I was given a topic to talk to young people. I guess they said that I'm still young, right? So they said, give a topic, something that you would like to share with young people or to share with people who works with young people. And so I kind of am just going to ask you all to bear with me through this because it's kind of geared towards you if you're young, but it's also geared towards you if you work with people who are younger than you as well. And so I'm going to give a challenge to both. We're going to be in 1 John. We're going to be in 1 John chapter 2. We're going to begin by reading verses 1 through 17. 1 John chapter 2. We'll begin reading verses 1 through 17. And as you go there, I'll just tell you something that I think about whenever I read this particular section from John. I always think about a conversation that someone had with me a while back. And the guy kind of just, he pulled me to the side. You know how when people pull you to a side and they just kind of start talking to you and then they tell you a little secret or something that kind of feels like a secret. Well, this guy did this. He told me something of a secret and then he followed up with that secret by saying, you know, I'm telling you this, Alex, for a reason. The reason why I'm telling you this is because I know you can do something with what I'm telling you. Now, I know your background. I know how you were raised. I know how humble you are. I know how hard you fight to get over things that you deal with. And that's why I'm telling you this bit of information. As I was reading John's words to the Christians, I kept going back to this conversation time and time again. And maybe you will imagine yourself having a conversation similar to that one as you read what John wrote. Let us jump into the Bible. John chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. It says, "My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, 'I know him,' but does not know, do what he commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. Dear friends, I am not writing you a new commandment, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard, yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and in you. Because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining, anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. But anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they are going because the darkness has blinded them." We're in 1 John chapter 2, and I'm about to read verse 12. 1 John chapter 2, verse 12. "I am writing to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgotten on account of his name. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one." Verse 15, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away. But whoever does the will of God lives forever." Do you know John, the same one who wrote the gospel account and the same one who wrote the book of Revelations, also writes this letter? He writes this letter as a means to combat some of the false teachings that were going around. You have things like Gnosticism that were challenging the humanity of Jesus. But in addition to writing this letter to address some of the issues pertaining to the divinity of Jesus as well as his humanity. John was also writing this letter to assure and encourage and empower the Christians, as seems to be the tone of most of the letters that we have in the New Testament. This section that we just read is actually John giving some of the reasons why he wrote this letter. He would start off by saying, I'm writing this letter to you so that you do not sin. And then he goes off and he lists a few things under that bracket. He's saying, listen, if you are out here and you have hatred towards your brother and sister, then you're not really the Christian that you claim yourself to be. You're not really operating within the light that you claim for yourself to operate in. If you're out here, you're not upholding the commandments of God, then don't sit here and say that you believe or you love God, because your life is not a reflection of the words that are coming out of your mouth. And as he continues, he then goes off to continue to say more of the reasons why he is writing this letter to the Christians. He goes off and he says, I'm writing this letter to you. Now he begins to specify the particular groups of people that he's talking to and the reason he's writing that letter to that particular group. If you look back in the verse, he calls out people. He said, first, he mentions the children. And now he gives his reason for writing the children. He says he writes to them because their sins have been forgiven on account of Jesus' name. Count of them because they're children. But because of Jesus, these kids have been saved. The second group that he chooses to write to, he says, I'm writing to you fathers. And the reason that he begins to write to the fathers, he says, because y'all know him. I'm writing to you fathers because you know him. You knew him since the beginning. This is nothing new for you. And then finally, he mentions young men. He says, because they have overcome the evil one. He says all of this in verse 13. But then he repeats himself in verse 14. He repeats himself when listing the groups and why he writes to them. But this time when he repeats the groups, he simply states what he already stated earlier about the children and father in verse 13. But now when you get to verse 14, he gives a little bit more detail. Which group does he give a little bit more detail to? Young men. All right, so I'm just going to give you guys a warning. I really don't like doing lectures or doing a class. If I'm not preaching on Sunday morning, there's interaction. So I'm going to ask you guys some questions. It's going to be okay. I believe in you all, as you are going to believe in me as I'm up here. We're going to do this thing, okay? So you said the youth, the young people. What are some of the things that he gives reason to why he is writing to the young people? He lists three things. Because they are strong. That's number one. What's number two? The word of God lives in them. And finally, number three, overcome the evil one. It is in John's reasoning for why he is writing to the Christians, especially to the young people that we're going to take our lesson from today. With that being said, it's time for y'all to show some energy. Repeat after me. If you know me, I like to do repeats. Repeat after me. My youth is my opportunity. Not my excuse. Now, this time, I need y'all sleep. I know it's like, it's what time is it? It's like 3. I'm tired. Y'all tired. But if I'm going to get through this, then I need some energy. Repeat after me. My youth is my opportunity. Not my excuse. All right. For those who talk fast, I need you to slow down for the people who can't say opportunity as fast. Okay? Slow it down. Repeat after me. My youth is my opportunity. Not my excuse. Y'all going to get that here in a little bit. I believe in you. I believe in you. There's this guy I want to tell y'all about. His name is Franklin. Franklin is a 16-year-old. He is finally back in school after a long-awaited summer. He's been waiting anxiously to get back to school so he can be with his friends. He finally goes to school. He's starting his junior year, being 16 years old. Junior year is always one of the most exciting times because you're further away from freshman year and you're closer to senior year, and so you're anticipating what's going to come next, but you know you got to get through junior year, and you just got to be happy about it, okay? And so these are all the emotions that Franklin is going through. Franklin is going to school. He gets to school, and when he gets there, he finds his friends. And they're all huddled around talking, laughing. And so Franklin walks up and he jumps in the conversation. And they're talking about everything they did over the summer. And they're talking about all the fun that they had, all the places that they went. Franklin is engaged in this conversation. But then the conversation starts to take a turn in a different direction. They're not just talking about what they did. Now they're talking about what they have been watching. They're talking about all the summer shows that's been coming out, all the anime, all the NBC, all the Grey's Anatomy, all of those episodes. They're talking about all the good stuff that's been coming on. But then as they're talking about all the stuff they're watching, one of the guys, he takes it into a completely different direction. Yeah, y'all been watching all those shows, but, you know, I've just been watching pornography all summer. And so now all the other friends, oh, yeah, I was watching some of that too. Yep, on my phone. Yeah, I was just in my room scrolling 1 o'clock in the morning, and there we go. Boom, back. There we at. Franklin begins to feel a little unease because he doesn't know how to jump into this conversation. And so as all his friends are talking about how they've been watching porn all summer and how it's this new thing that's developed now that you are going into your junior year, it's a new thing that's developed, Franklin is over there like, okay, I was with y'all, but now I'm not with y'all. But he's saying all this stuff in his mind. One of his friends looks at Franklin, and they know that Franklin is a Christian. And so he says, Franklin, you look a little uneasy. Now, surely you've had your share of watching porn. I mean, come on. You're 16 years old, dude. That's what we all do. I know you're a Christian, but surely you watched a porn, right? Franklin, feeling the weight pressing down on him, before he responds, he's thinking to himself, I do not watch that. I don't watch that stuff. But for some reason, I'm feeling like I gotta tell them that I've watched that stuff. For some reason, I feel the pressure. For some reason, I feel like I have to fold in this situation. I don't watch that stuff, though. And then Franklin gives his response to his friends. Has there ever been a time in your youth that you folded from God's calling on your life? Has there ever been a time in your youth where you folded from God's calling on your life? Not a rhetorical question. If you don't mind sharing, you can share. I know it's like, well, you didn't ask what a follow-up. But if it's a yes, what's something that happened? If you don't mind sharing. If you mind sharing, don't share. Go for it. There have been many a times where, so a little insight into me. I'm the type of person that when I curse, it just sounds awful. Like I can be the most angry, upset, mad, distraught, distressed, anxiety-filled person, and I will try to curse, and it just sounds so bad. Y'all ever met somebody like that? You just like, no matter what. Some of y'all are like, yes, that's me. I'm that type of person. All right, so I'm the type of person that literally I didn't curse growing up for real because I wanted to. It's not that I didn't want to. It's just that I didn't sound cool when I did it. You can tell this guy is not a for real cusser. But when I went out for recess, people would always curse and talk. And so I'm sitting there like, okay, I got to be cool. So how do I be cool with them if they're cursing? So you know what I did? I started cursing. But then everybody looked at me, so I stopped because it was awkward. They knew I didn't curse. But that's just one example out of many examples in my life where I found myself folding under the pressure at hand, even though I knew and I was aware of the calling that God placed on my life. But because of what was going on around me, I felt necessary to fold into the pressure. What are some reasons that cause us as young people to fold? And if you're not young, what are some reasons that cause young people to fold?
Surrounding things you're around,
the environment. Environment has a lot to do with this. Sometimes the environment introduces a feeling on you that causes you to fold. I want you guys to try to figure out, what is that feeling? What do you think it is? Whether it's the environment, whether it's the occasion, whether it's the scenario, the situation, the people involved, what feelings do that produce inside of you that causes you to fold?
Insecurity.
Insecurity. Do you know, in a lot of circles, and for the sake of this class, we're going to label those type of feelings, not the feelings, but the act of giving into those feelings. And I want you to make sure of the distinction that I'm making here, because what I'm about to say is going to be very harsh, which is why it's very important for you to understand. I'm not saying that the feelings we feel in those moments identify as this. However, when we give into those feelings of insecurities, when we give into those feelings of pressure of our surroundings, of our environment, when we give into those feelings of wanting to fold, it is the act of folding that I consider to be weak. It's the act of folding that I consider to be weak, not the feelings leading up to our decision to fold, because those feelings are valid. It is very valid for us to feel pressure, for us to feel the surrounding, for us to feel insecurity. It's very normal for us to feel those things, for us to feel like we don't measure up. That is okay. That is not the weak point. The weak point is when we fold. It is the act of folding. But for some reason, when we are young, or when we deal with those who are young, we tend to do something very strange to weakness. We give it a pass. We give it a pass. Why do you think that we give young people, whether it is others or ourselves, a pass to be weak when it comes to our relationship with God? You about to say my whole sermon in that one statement. Well, lecture, it's not a sermon. We think we have time. What are some other reasons?
Well, you know, let's take a couple, marriage, they get divorced. So everyone is trying to please their children.
We have so many reasons why passes are given to young people. But one of the biggest reasons why young people are given a pass to be weak is because they're young. Well, you should have raised your hand. Some of y'all like, I was going to say that. One of the biggest reasons why young people are given a pass to be weak in their relationship with God is because they are young. It is because of their age. I want you all to consider the words of John again. In John chapter 2, verse 14, when he's explaining why he's writing to the young people, his first thing after he says, "And I'm writing to you, young men, young people, youngins, young folks, because you are strong." John says that he is writing to them because they are strong. John, the one whose family too, and most familiar with Jesus, we take his word as serious. We take his words as important. He chooses to say, "I'm writing to you young people because you are strong." Do you know, in this moment, John gave what I like to consider to be a compliment, a word of validation, as well as a word of challenge to the young people in this one statement. He says, I'm writing to you because you are strong. I'm writing to you, young people, because you are strong. In this one statement, he has just given us a challenge. He's just validated us, and he gave us a compliment. He says something about us that not a lot of people tell us. He says that we are strong, that we are strong. I find this very interesting because so many of us are quick to give excuse for weakness depending on age. We say things like, well, you know, we don't expect you to be faithful all the time. You're only 18 years old. I don't expect you to be for real faithful. I expect you to be half faithful, but not all the way faithful, as if there is some sort of thing called halfway faithful. We say things like, oh, you can lack a little faith. You're only 17 years old. You're only 20 years old. You're only 16 years old. You're only 12 years old. You can lack a little faith being that young. Yes, I know you gave your life to God, but you didn't know what you were doing for real. You're only 21 years old. Or we say things like, surely you're going to sin more often. I mean, you're only 22. Surely you're going to engage in sin a little bit more. That's not an issue. You come before the church and you say, I've fallen short of the glory of God, and people look at you like, it'll get better. You're only 22. You'll get stronger. We give ourselves, being young, a pass to be weak, and then other people gives us a pass to be weak as well. They also say things like, oh, it's okay for you to talk back to your parents. I mean, we don't expect much of you at 12 years old. It's okay for you to do that. So true. Let it. Here's what I'm going to say to this. This message right now is on the extreme side. And the reason why it's on the extreme side is because I feel like we live extreme. The other extreme says that you are young. That is plentiful grace. We never operate in the middle. So I want you to understand that this message, we're going to work with the extreme and hope to get us in the middle. Because I feel like we're too far over here. We're too far on the side of your young grace. But how does that measure up to Romans 6:1 that says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God? We know that, but shall we go on sinning that grace may abound, may it never be? Is there an age restriction on that? That's in the middle. So right now, we're going to operate, and I'm glad that you asked that, because I don't want y'all to think that there is not grace involved in this conversation. The issue is we're extending more grace than God is in this situation. And God is a plentiful in the grace that he extends. But we rely too heavily on the fact that we are young, and we never move closer to this side where the expectation is raised a little higher, and that word is going to come up a little later on. Here's what I'm saying. Bent out of shape when I see these excuses being passed along to our youth. We have gotten to a point that we remove expectations and standards from youth that God himself has not done so with. You say, well, that's such a strong statement right there to say that God himself hasn't done away with these expectations. Well, let's take this for instance. Andrew this morning, and I don't know if you had a chance to hear Andrew speak this morning as our keynote for the morning time. He was talking about the Ten Commandments, and one specifically he was talking about was honoring thy father and mother. Now, we hear honor thy father and mother. Who gave that commandment? Who gave that commandment? You better say it with some conviction in this room. Who gave that commandment? Okay, was there any, you know, rules in parentheses? Did y'all see any, when y'all read, y'all hear anything in parentheses? Did y'all see any exceptions to the rule? No, it wasn't any buts. What about ifs? Ands? Ors? Maybes? Was there an age requirement? Y'all sure? So if there was an age requirement, how is it that when our children are 10 years old and they don't honor their mother and father, we give them a pass and we just say they're young, they don't know what they're doing? They're young, they don't know what they're doing. Do you know how many times I walked into a grocery store and I've seen kids disobey their parents? I mean, talk back. And I look at them like, that couldn't be me, man. I wouldn't be living right now. Boy, listen, my mom had her backhand on point. Y'all come up to me, y'all move your hand too fast. Listen, I got PTSD, okay? The issue is people, some of these kids don't even have even an inch of that. Here's what I'm saying. It's because gave them a pass to be weak in their relationship with God. If you are 12 years old and you gave your life to God at 12 years old, but I don't start placing expectations on you to live up to that calling, and you are 25 years old, I have done you an injustice for all those years. Listen, we are so quick to try to take away expectations and standards on ourselves and on those younger than us that God himself did not do. God did not say, honor thy mother and father when you are 30 years old. He just simply said, honor thy mother and father. That means that this word is for those who are 8 years old, 10 years old, 15 years old, 18 years old. It's just as much for the 22-year-old as it is for the 60-year-old. I'm going somewhere with this, I promise you. I promise you, we have to stop giving the excuse that they are young and it's okay to be weak in our commitment to God, because the longer we do that, the longer we will hear folks saying, well, I'll give my life to God when I'm older. The longer we continue to give excuses and passes to young people to be weak in their spiritual walk with God, the more and more we are going to hear people saying, well, I'll give my life to God when I'm older. Your youth is not your excuse. It is your opportunity. I want you to take David, for example. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, the Bible says that David was but a youth. But what happened in chapter 17 of Samuel? David, this young boy, goes to battle to give something to his brothers from his father. And while he is there to give them something, he sees that they are at war and there's this huge Philistine out there calling out for people to come and fight him. And everyone, all the older people, scared. No one wants to go out there to fight. Everyone's scared. David's like, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he would taunt the armies of God? Everybody like, hold on, David. You don't know what you're doing, David. You don't know what you're doing. David goes after getting armor. He goes out there. And he fights. David didn't say, well, because I'm young, I'm going to stay on the sidelines. And I'm just going to witness the whole people of God being demolished. He didn't stay on the sideline and says, because of my youth. Instead, he says, in my youth. Do you see the difference? One end says, because of my youth, I ain't got nothing to do with this. The other end says, in my youth, I will participate. And I will go down in that battle and I will fight that uncircumcised Philistine. And guess what? He won. Where were you when I was making this lesson? Because that's an excellent point. I do think that we have it wrong. We always assume that the older you get, the better off you are to your spiritual walk with God. But I don't know how many, listen, when people in the Bible are told that they're going to have kids and they're 99 years old and their experiences and their life experiences has shaped and distorted the way that they view God and his promises. And you tell me you don't want to be young? That's why I'm saying it is your opportunity, not your excuse. But the longer we walk around saying that because of my youth, because of how young I am, I don't have to, or I should not have to, or I get a pass, we don't operate in the opportunities that placed on us. Listen, God is trying to do something special with us. God is trying to do something special with the young people in y'all churches. But the longer y'all put excuses on them and say, well, you get a pass today, we don't really allow ourselves to live up to our full potential. I'm telling you, we are way stronger than what we give ourselves credit to be. We are way stronger than what we give ourselves credit to be. if only Franklin was able to hear someone telling him in his ear to remain strong. If only Franklin had somebody in his ear telling him, no, you can withstand this temptation. If only Franklin had somebody in his ear telling him, Franklin, you are much stronger than the weaknesses that you're finding yourself trying to give yourself over to. You are stronger than this. If only someone were to tell him that, yes, he is 16, but even at 16, he's responsible to uphold his commitment to God. If only someone was in his ear, maybe, just maybe, Franklin would have not responded by saying, yeah, I watch pornography, and then later on actually follow through with watching it. Maybe if somebody was there to tell him that he's much stronger than the present weaknesses, he could have stayed stronger a little longer. We will fall, but I want to fall knowing that I'm meant to be stronger than what I am, than by falling because I feel as if I'm supposed to be weak and my age gives me reason to be weak. A lot of you guys are college students, and a lot of you guys in here work with young people. Let us do away with this lie that says that because of our age, we can be weak in the midst of adversity. When temptation knock on our door, if I'm only 18, 19 years old, I'm supposed to answer. You're not. When you gave your life to God, he called for your life completely. Not for you to be postponed until you 30 years old to give it to him, but for you to give it to him the moment that you say, I do believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And you go down into that water and you come back up. When you come back up, you're supposed to live out Romans 12 and your life is supposed to be a living and holy sacrifice unto the Father. Not partially. Not when it's convenient for you based off your age. Your age should not be a factor in your life lived unto God. Because if that is the case, man, we got it so wrong. Repeat after me. We're going to do it good this time. My youth
is my
opportunity.
Not
my excuse. Our youth is our opportunity to be strong, not weak. Do you know, there was this young lady who I heard talking a while back, and she was just talking about all the things that she had going on, and I started asking her, I'm saying, like, have you been reading your Bible? She says, man, I got cheerleading practice. I got dance rehearsal. I got spring sing. I got my engineering assignment due tomorrow. I got my mom keep calling me, talking about my dad want to get rid of the dog. I got friends that I'm supposed to meet up with. I have a social club mixer coming up that I'm supposed to be preparing for and sending out invitations for. I got so many things I'm supposed to do. And you ask me if I read my Bible? Ha, no. I can do that maybe when I'm out of college. I can do that when life slows down. I can do that later. Do you all think that this happens often? Why do you think this happens? Why do you think that this type of mentality is shared among young people quite often?
That's the standard that the church has given them.
Say that again.
That's the standard that the church has given them.
Mm-hmm. I need you to talk more about that because that's real good.
We tell every age group that they're busy enough, that they don't need time in God's word, that they can get enough from church on Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm. Man, you calling the older people out. Yes, I love it. I'm glad you did it so I didn't have to start doing it. But you're absolutely right. I mean, they set the tone. They set the tone. But I need us to go even a step further in that because it's rooted in so many ways that we don't even realize. Do you know that even Wednesday Bible study is at an all-time low? Do you know why? Football practice, dance rehearsal, school plays, homework. Essays. Oh, we ain't see you on Wednesday. Oh, yeah, my son, he had a baseball game. Yeah, they won. Yeah, they're going to nap. Here's what's so crazy. We have messed up how we prioritize everything. Football practice became more important than studying the Word of God. And so, of course, when the system has shifted and the system is distorted, because when I was growing up, it was, listen, that football game will be there next week too. The baseball game, you could listen, you got all your life to play baseball. Who knows how long you got to get your life right with God? That's where I came from. That was my background. Now it's like, yeah, but this is the one game that's going to tell if they go to the state or not. God was once here. Everything in the world was once here. But for some reason, this is starting to happen. And you know what happens when this happens? We start to give excuse once again to our young people that says it is all right if you are too busy for God and the Word of God. When things slow down, they get better. While you're young, it's supposed to be this way. You're supposed to be overly busy. I didn't know you could do that. Yeah. My people who work with youth, I see you. My people who work with youth, especially in youth ministry, you're going to hear something quite a lot. Oh, we're not able to make it to the retreat because we have this school event. We're not able to make it on Wednesday nights because of practice. Here's what I'm going to tell you. It is okay for you to stand up for God. If anybody in this room has a problem with me saying that, they can talk to me afterwards. It is okay for you to stand up for God. And it's okay for you to stand up for that child's spiritual development when no one else will. It is okay for you to go tick for tack with that parent in the most humble and righteous way possible. Don't you go up them and be like, well, Alex told me to stand up for God righteously, though. Righteously. It is okay for you to sit there and you talk and say, when did school become more important than God? And it's okay for you to defend that. They say, aren't you overreaching? No, I am not. And if I am, don't you think we ought to overreach for God? I mean, Zacchaeus climbed up a tree just to see Jesus. And you telling me you can't not go to practice to be with Jesus and God's people? If they say you over the top, then be over the top for God. But just say, well, I'm more concerned about him getting into heaven than I am about him getting a scholarship for baseball. Because the best scholarship you can get is the one that grants you access to the Father in heaven. All right, we're gonna go ahead. Go ahead. Y'all gonna get me started. You ain't have to call him out like that. Now his head all down. He like, dang, my. He like, I know exactly what I missed out on. And you know what's so crazy? Do you know what's so crazy? Whether or not he understands the totality of that right now, and whether other people in this room don't understand the importance of that right now, what you are doing is training him to put God at the top always. What that looks like even further, and this is something that y'all get to. When I do my bills, because of how I was instilled to reverence God in my youth, and this is what I mean when I say it's your opportunity. It's your opportunity to develop skills, to develop habits that's going to mature when you get older. I was watching LeBron James. He was talking. He was like, listen, we come into practice every day and build championship habits. So that what we do today, though it may not come into fruition this season, what we do today will most likely come into fruition next season by building habits. We do now what's going to be matured later on down the line. So now when I do my bills, do you know what's on the top? What used to be at the bottom, I had a long ways in my youth and still in my youth to get there. I used to put offering down here. Offerings right up top. Because I can't, listen, I'm going to give to God before I give to my house. Because he's the one that gave me the house. So when you say we're going to put God over, what you're doing is you're providing an opportunity for yourself to be successful in your youth as well as in your older age. But we like to do things like say, well, you're young, so you really don't need to give that much time to reading your Bible. You know, when you're 18, when you're 16 years old, that's when you're supposed to be out there living. That's when you're supposed to be out there making mistakes. That's not when you're supposed to be out there being 100% committed to God. Only 70%, but make it look like 100. I'm saying a lot of sermons into one. I want you to understand the word excuse. Excuses are an attempt to lessen, justify, or release responsibility. Excuses, why y'all didn't tell me I'm running out of time? Y'all, excuses are an attempt to lessen, to justify, or release responsibility. My question is, why would any of us want to do that if we really know the God that we serve? Why do we want to lessen young people's responsibility that they have to serve God with their time and with their life? Here's what I want us to understand. Youth is not an excuse for neglect, but rather an opportunity to embrace. Take Jesus, for example. When he was 12 years old, the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 2 that at 12 years old, Jesus was in the temple courts listening and asking questions. And apparently, the Bible says that they were amazed at the way that he was, the things that he was saying and the way that he was answering questions. So apparently he was not just there listening and asking questions. He was also there sharing. And you can see at 12 years old, he was doing this stuff. But at 18 years old, we say, I don't need to do this stuff. John says, I'm writing to you young people because the word of God is in you. The only way you get the word of God in you is by embracing the word. And the only way you embrace it is by reading it. How can you have something in you that you ain't even familiar with? Or are you expecting the Spirit to take care of that for you too? Listen, the Spirit does an awful lot, but we still have our role to play into the situation. The Spirit nurtures. The Spirit develops. The increase is provided. But we're still responsible for the planting and the watering. That means that we got to be in our word like this. But we say, because I'm young, I ain't got to read it. No, that's the time you're supposed to read it. Because I promise you, I see a lot of old people, and we look at old people. We say, ooh, man, my grandma, she know the word of God real good. She know the word of God real good. I can't wait to be like her. Guess what? Your grandma started at your age. Or are you just thinking that you're just going to so happen to be as spiritual as your grandmother? No, you don't get to that level of spirituality. You don't get to that Hebrews 11 cloud of witness as this. You don't become a part of that cloud of witness until you witness. And that starts today. That starts today. What I'm trying to get us to understand is my youth is not my excuse to neglect the word, but rather to embrace it. Repeat after me. My youth is my opportunity. Not my excuse. The last thing that I want to share with you before you guys go here in a couple of minutes is my youth is not my excuse to be subjected to the evil one, but to overcome the evil one. My youth is not my excuse to be subjected to the evil one, but to overcome the evil one. Should young folks get baptized? Should young people get baptized? Y'all think so? Anybody in here feels like young people should not get baptized? I'm not judging you if you feel that way. It's a safe zone. If anybody look at you crazy, you just tell me and I'll look at them crazy. Okay? Okay, so what do you guys think the age should be where young people should be allowed to give their lives over to God?
The way you say natural response.
Okay. If it does not matter how old you are, although some, and I am under the, I got to make sure you know what's going on. So you know the age of competency, like you got to be competent in what's going on. But that's a different topic. But I think what we're all saying is that when you are of that age where you understand, I'm not going to hold you back from giving your life to God. I got baptized when I was 9 years old, so I understand that. Here's the follow-up question. Is there a certain number of passes that a person receives in their youth for the sin that they commit as opposed to what is received in your older age? Is there a certain number of passes that a person receives in their youth for the sin that they commit as opposed to the passes that they receive in their older age? From God. No? Anybody want to say yes? So if no one wants to say yes, I'm assuming that everyone is saying no. That there is no such thing as a pass or an excuse based off your age and the sins that you commit in comparison to what you receive when you are older. If that is how we feel, why is it that we operate or we interact with ourselves as youth, or we interact with youth as if they received a pass for what they did just because they were young? When all of us in this room just said, yes, my age don't mean that I get a pass to be sinful. At the point that I gave my, and I'm not talking to anybody who hasn't given their life to God. And I'm going to say the same thing for people who are 30, 40 years old. I don't have an expectations on them to live unto God. But when you give your life to God, you are standing there before everyone there. You're saying, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And you have gone into the water. You have come back up. You have given your life to God through that process. You come up saying, I am a child of God. When you make that statement with your life, you automatically receive a place expectation on you that says you ought to live up to the calling of God that's been placed on your life. What all this means is that we have to stop being people who run away from expectations. We say, don't expect anything from me. You won't be disappointed. Well, here's the thing. I expect, so don't disappoint. You see the difference? I'm not shying away from that. For my people who work with young people, for my people who have children, it is okay for you to say, I expect, so don't disappoint. While the world is busy saying, don't expect and you won't get disappointed. Listen, as a Christian to another Christian, I expect you to uphold the calling God has placed on your life. That is your duty as a Christian. If you don't want to be held accountable to that expectation, then you probably want to reconsider whether or not you want to be a Christian. Especially for those who've already made that decision, you can't go back. That is why Luke tells us to count the costs, because it is very costly. Let me get through this, and then I'll be done. I'll let you go. Some expectations are wrong, but some are actually good. It was actually my mother's expectations of me to take care of business that helped me take care of business. It's my wife's expectation of me to be a good husband that helps me be a good husband. It is my daughter's expectation of me to always be there for that makes me committed to always being there for. Maybe it will be our expectations of each other, especially young people, to be strong, to be dedicated, to be committed to the word of God, and to be committed to overcoming the evil one that will help them do just that. Maybe our expectations of our youth will help them overcome. In simpler words, we must start seeing youth as opportunity and not as excuse. Opportunity says you can do this. Excuse says you don't have to. Opportunity says don't falter. Excuse says falter while you can. Excuse leads to defeat. opportunity leads to success. If we start seeing youth as an opportunity to overcome the evil one and not as a reason to pass or be overtaken or subjected, then maybe, just maybe, more of our young people's lives will look like God and not just sound like it. When I had that conversation with that person, they said, Alex, I'm telling you this because you're humble. I'm telling you this because I know your background. Do you know what's so funny? I was struggling before this, and they knew this. I did not know this until later. They knew I was struggling with being humble. And it was through that statement, I know you're humble, that I was reminded to be humble. Maybe it's through our statements to ourselves that says, you are stronger than this. The word abides in you. You have overcome the evil one. Maybe it's those statements that will help us be reminded of the expectations placed on us as young people. It is our opportunity in our youth, not our excuse. Go out there and find opportunities to be young and live for God. Thank you, guys.